People speak of their faith, I have faith. But if it's only head knowledge and not true heart experience, then it becomes ineffective for you. Anybody can say they have faith, but until it's proven through the tests that it goes through, then you really can't say you have faith.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the broadcast of Revive. This is Pastor Joey Rogers. Glad that you've joined us today. I'm going to take you into the first part of a brand new series, The Favor Factor. And this message, part one, is walking in divine favor. But right now, here's a portion of part one from the series, The Favor Factor, walking in divine favor.
Walking in the favor of God is not my salvation experience. I'm in the door. But now it's more than me just coming to church and throwing my hands up and praising God over somebody else's blessing. I'm going to dig in the Word of God and start walking in obedience to God's principles and to His Word. And favor will come upon those that are obedient to His Word. I don't have to beg God to do it. All I've got to do is obey Him and watch what He does. Write it down. Favor is supposed to increase inside of our life. In fact, the Bible says of Jesus Christ that He increased in favor, in wisdom, and in stature with God and men. You're supposed to increase in favor. You're not supposed to just have a status quo stagnant deal going on. That's what loses life in your Christian life. I'm increasing in favor because the more I know about Him, the more I trust Him. And the more I trust Him, the more I'll obey Him. And the more I obey Him, the more He shows me His favor. He shows me that He can. You know, it's a hateful thing to have to sing a song, made a way out of no way. And you haven't experienced that yet. A little caveat right here to say to you, everybody has got to go through their faith crisis before you get favor. I don't know what yours is. I've met a lot of preachers who will change churches because they don't want to go through a hard place, only to find out when they got to the next church, it was just as hard there as it was at their previous one. Why? Because God's not going to let you out of the contract. I say God's not going to let you out of the contract. He's got a covenant with you. And what does that mean? God said, I'm going to be with you whithersoever thou goest. If you're on the mountain, I'm there. If you're in the valley of the shadow of death, don't fear. I am with you. God said, it makes no difference. I don't worry about it. And He don't worry about whether or not the Hittites and the Hivites are in the promised land. He just said, I've got favor on you and blessing on you. Reach in there and possess the land. It's already yours. Favor is supposed to increase in our life. Throughout the Word of God, you see favor increasing on those that are walking with God in obedience to Him. So, I don't have to beg God to bless me. If I will give my tithes and offering, He said He would open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing I don't have room enough to receive. So don't hate on me when the blessings come down like former and latter rain upon my head. I've simply obeyed the Word of God. I'm just walking in the obedience of God's Word, and He's got a blessing drop there, and He's got a blessing dropped here. Wherever my foot, come on somebody, the steps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. He's got blessings and favor laid out, and He said, if you walk in the good way, if you walk in the highway of holiness, if you live right and seek my face, I've got something waiting on you next week. Do you know it only takes one phone call to open up everything? If you got the one phone call, you couldn't handle the business. You couldn't handle the blessing. You got to be consistently walking in righteousness to see that take place. Favor is supposed to increase inside of your life. John 15 says that you start out with fruit. But God says, the husbandman of that vineyard says, you got to move from fruit to more fruit. We expect something of our fruit trees that we're not giving to God now. He comes back out there and passes by your fig tree and says, wow, I really wish I had something to eat. Is there any figs on the tree? Well, the tree's been going to church and the tree's been doing some things, but the tree has not been increasing to bring any fruit. The husbandman says, cut it down. Cut it. Have you ever been cut before? God said, I know right where to cut you. You got fruit? I see potential fruit inside of your life, so I'm going to prune you. Come on now. Wait, wait. He didn't say he picks the fruit tree up and moves it to another backyard. The reason why some of you can't see fruit in your life is because you keep moving out of position. He planted you in that place. He planted you in that place. But because it gets hard, and hey, because it gets 28 degrees with a wind chill of 18 in Northwest Florida, you're ready to say, get the thing, pull it out of the ground and take it inside. But there's some winters you got to go through. I mean, we sing about what we don't believe about. Summer and winter, springtime and harvest, sun, moon. We just sang about it right here. But we keep picking it up and moving it out of position because it gets cold and because it gets hard and because there's an affliction. And then some bugs get in my tree and start eating up all my fruit. And then when I start getting a little bit of fruit, here comes God coming along with a great big pair of shears, the Word of God, and a preacher who's been reading my mail, my email, my Gmail, my Cmail, my ABCDEFGmail, all that kind of stuff. And you think I've been calling up your friends and watching your Facebook, but the Holy Ghost has had your number because he don't want you to get out of position, because if you move from your position, you're going to lose your favor. Got to stay in position. And that's hard, boy. I said, that's hard. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's hard when you're not getting any fruit. It's hard when the wind chill factor's at 18 and you're shivering saying, I wish somebody just put a coat on me and ain't nothing coming. When is it my time, God? Seasons come and seasons go. But I can't, if you didn't get anything this morning, I want you to get this. Stay in position. Don't move your position. If Joseph had have opted out when he got out of that pit and said, hey, I don't need a ride. I'm just going to tell. I'm telling Daddy on all of y'all. Every last one of you. He didn't do it. Isn't that interesting? I think that might be a key to increased favor. It's not because of anything you've done. It's because you have the ability, like Joseph, to forgive those who have cut you deeply. Instead of rising up in pride and looking for vengeance, I submit to you that Joseph was favored because he had a forgiving heart. Furthermore, I believe as a caveat to that, James 4 and 6 gives us a very clear explanation on how to stay in the position so that favor can come in spite of everything. He says it like this. I've got a decrease. This is kingdom key right here, and not everybody can do this because the world's mentality and many church people, Christians' mentality is, I'll step on this one on my way to the top. But God says, watch this. This is interesting. He says, he giveth more grace in this verse. You should write it down, James 4, 6. He giveth more grace. He just shoots that one right out at the very beginning of that verse. And then he goes on to say this. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. I see a key here. If I'm going to have favor come into my life, I must decrease. Oh yeah, he's going to increase, but because he's got his hand on my life, he's going to flip around inside of my life, and the lower I get, the higher I'll go. Y'all ain't hearing what I'm saying. The lower Joseph got, come on now, he was standing on the top, the favored son with a multicolored jacket on, And his brothers threw him down into the pit, and he went down into the dry well. But then he got a little bit of hope. He went to church one Sunday, and they was having a meeting, and a whole different group of people, some Baptist Ishmaelites, came out and pulled him right on out. Pulled him right on out of the pit, and he's on the top again. Woo! It ain't just exactly like I think it, but it's good. And he gets over, and he gets selected at Potiphar's house to be in charge of everything. And then comes witchy woman, and here she is right here propositioning him while he's trying to mind his own business. Come on, somebody. Oh, my God. Where's Harvey Weinstein when you need it? Anyway, propositioning him. Come on, somebody. He said, I'm just here to do a job. What are you doing? I'm here. I could get killed. And here he is in Potiphar's house. Come on now. Favor's favor. I don't care. Can I add this right here? Favor's favorite. I don't care. He didn't own the house, but he enjoyed being able to be in Potiphar's house. He ate out of the silver spoon. He drank out of the golden goblets. He was there to meet all the dignitaries. And now he's got a lying woman who's going to steal. And look at this. See, there's nothing new in hell's assault. You're watching the accuser of the brethren sweep across this land right now. And it makes no difference if it's true or not. He's just throwing stuff on the wall to see if it'll stick. And she screams out, hey, he's raping me. And Joseph would rather leave his coat and keep his anointing than to live in the house with a brawling woman. Come on, somebody. Oh, my God. And there's Joe again on the top. And the lower he went, listen, the pit was something, but when he got to the prison, he's in the low place. And then he helps out a couple of guys, and they leave him in there for another 12 years. I don't know about you, but about that time, I would be asking God, hey, God, remember that multicolored jacket my daddy gave me? Have you left me completely? Am I talking to anybody in here? Are all y'all so spiritual? You saying, oh, yes, I know the Lord will make a way for me. I bet Joe was having a crisis moment about that time. I mean, it's one thing to be left out for 1 year and 2 years, but it's another whole deal. I mean, by that time, I'm just kind of hanging out, making, you know, setting up the furniture, getting my plasma TV going on inside the cell. I think I'm going to be here a while. Ain't that funny? Just when you think nothing changes, along comes a word from an unsuspecting source. Your Bible says that God spoke to the cupbearer, and he said, hey, I got this dream. I know a man. Send for him. I do not know what this coming week is going to handle. I don't know what next week. I don't know when it's going to happen, but I know this. I know how it's going to happen. You're going to be minding your own business, and all of a sudden, God's just going to put his hand on you, and he's going to tell somebody who's in charge, send for him. Now's the time. Whenever that happens, don't you beat your chest and say, well, I knew they was going to find me sooner or later. I got the education. You better humble yourself so you can get more grace, because he gives grace to the humble, but to those that are pride-filled, he resists.
You've been hearing an excerpt from part one of the Favor Factor series. I believe it will be a blessing to you, and I want to encourage you to get it right now on CD or DVD. Today's message, part one, Walking in Divine Favor. And you can do that at paceassembly.org or call 850-202-3100. Thanks for joining us for the program today. We'll look forward to being back with you again. And until then, remember, Jesus Christ is coming soon.